Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the first Tuesday Live of 2026. I'm here with John Willis from Special Operations Equipment in his fancy blue light studio. I am here with Jack Spierko, who is pouring a cup of coffee, a fake French press cup of coffee. He can tell you about that later. I'm Nicole Soss from Living Free in Tennessee, and we are here to talk about whatever we want to talk about. And John, you were just talking about how awesome it is to have a road widened that takes your property from you.
Well, I mean, we've known it was coming for 20 years. We've had the property for 11, and now it's a mess. It's they've taken like all of the hills, everything that separated us from the outside, because we're kind of down a hill in a bowl. They've pulled all the trees. Well, we pulled most of the trees down, and they're cutting all of that out of there. So they've got 330 Komatsu or Deere excavators, massive, massive machines. They're going to come in with bulldozers and everything. So we're just kind of doing what we can do right now, piling up a berm of dirt. It's about 4.5 feet right now across. We're going to take it up to 6 and then put it in, you know, willow or bamboo or, you know, pine or something. And all we can do really is wait. And then, you know, the whole project about bringing the top paddock down and bringing the bottom one up a little bit and kind of leveling that property somewhat so it's more usable. We're starting all of that. So pulling all the pine trees out and everything.
Does that affect your drainage situation?
Oh, it's going to, yeah, it's good. It already, just cutting the trees down before they even moved any of the dirt, it rained and it just washed topsoil everywhere. So every 20 feet, I've kind of put a berm of dirt across the entirety of the property to kind of catch the water. It's worked somewhat.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's just mud everywhere.
Yeah, our experience when they put city water here is they said they were going to be very careful about drainage and blah, blah, blah. And we have a new road flood that we've had for about 8 years since that went in. It's like lake every time it rains. And it's because they dug up a culvert, put the line through that and buried it again and then filled the culvert with rocks because,
So they've got major work going on just a quarter mile up the road. Like they have forms in the ground and they've poured concrete and they got massive cranes and square, you know, culverts like would go under an interstate down there. So, I mean, I'm not concerned about flooding there, but it's definitely changing what happens on my property.
Yeah. Well, luckily you have equipment to deal with it.
We do.
Yeah.
You need a fence like my neighbor put in to hide it all.
A fence.
They put in this thing for like, I think 55 and older RVs. They put in 5 pads, our neighbors, and I guess they wanted their people to not have to look at us or us to see them. They put up iron, and then they took the panels like you use for metal roofing, and that's the fence. It's a complete, and like, the guy's like, I hope you're okay. Like, I want to put that all the way around and not look at any.
Yeah, no doubt. You can see through chain link. That'll catch some sound.
Yeah. My only concern for him is like when we get one of our really vicious windstorms. Yeah. I mean, it might rip the panel down, but he's got like 4-inch iron. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I think we're putting bamboo on the outside and let it go their way. So it won't be our problem. I mean, they'll come through with excavators or cutters or whatever, but it's up a cliff and their power lines are at the base, I think. So there's no reason that they're going to be coming up there, but we got about 10 feet of demarcation between us and them. So we can just let it run there.
Gotcha.
So a question for you, John, are you being financially compensated for the land they are taking?
No, it was part of a deal. Like we knew that was happening. They had the eminent domain, some people, but they had actually bought it from the previous owner before we took possession of the property. We knew that was a possibility, but we'd been hearing this for 14 years. They came through every 4 or 5 years and put spikes and surveyed and did all of this. Where we put those swales up there, we knew that was a possibility when we did that.
Yeah, that's a bummer to undo all that swale work.
Well, we took all the dirt. I mean, it's all super fertile. We pulled all that whole berm. We relocated the entirety of the berm.
Cool. Okay, I'm wearing my oil shirt today, my oil timeline shirt, in honor of Venezuela, which is totally a drug issue, right, guys?
I have a nuanced take on it.
Good, I don't.
Because, okay, so first of all, it's obviously an oil issue. And I don't think that we have any business doing it. However, the shrieking by the left is comical at best. The pearl clutching. In 2020, I think it was Trump put out an indictment, the Trump administration, DOJ, put out an indictment for Maduro, and they issued a $15 million bounty. And then Biden, the potato, came in and raised the bounty to $25 million and didn't remove the indictment. So does it mean anything when we indict somebody? Like, is that a thing, or do we just do it to feel good about it and grab each other's asses, right? The whole shrieking that it's illegal and unconstitutional is nonsense. Should it be? Maybe, but it isn't. Right? John Bush, who I love, said, you know, show me in the Constitution where it says the president can do this. I said, show me in the Constitution where it says the president can't. Right? Where does it say you can't do this? And, like, constitutionality is based on, like, the Constitution and what it says you can and cannot do, and then precedent of what has been done. So Bush the first freaking took out Noriega, right, in Panama. We've grabbed other people like this. And then, well, he's the president. Okay, 55 countries do not recognize him as president of that country. None of the G7 nations, who are supposedly our allies anyway, recognize him as president of that country. 15 of the G20 do not recognize him as president of that country. And if he is, if it's legitimate, does that mean you could be president of a country and be indicted? And then we just don't do anything, because that standard didn't seem to apply to Trump very well when they were coming up with 99 indictments out of one bookkeeping error. So I don't know. Like, should we fuck around with other countries? Probably not. Is it legal? That's a different question. And then here's the question I have for people that are private property rights people. If I go to Nicole and we freely agree with each other, or like what happened to John with the previous owner selling off a piece of his property, right? You knew that when you bought it. If I go to Nicole and let's say Nicole has 300 acres, and I say, Nicole, I want to buy the rights to the oil or natural gas under your property. I'm going to make this huge investment. I'm going to put in a road. I'm going to put in two or three pads. I'm going to put in equipment. I'm going to put in everything necessary to start extracting and transporting this natural resource off your property. She should be able to tell me flat out, go get fucked and not do the deal. But if she does the deal, don't I have now legal right to that shit? Because 20 years ago, that's what happened in Venezuela. U.S. oil companies went in. You can talk about it being predatory, whatever the fuck you want. They made the deal. They made the investment. They put in the fucking infrastructure. And freaking Venezuela's oil output went through the roof. Chavez took over, seized the oil on behalf of the people, which basically means reneged on the deal he made, kept all the fucking infrastructure, and the oil production has gone down like a fucking rock ever since both those fucking clowns have been in charge. And the oil companies are like, hey, we want our money back. So they went to, like, the global court system, the world court system, and they said, hey, they fucked us, and the global court system says, you're right, they did fuck you. Venezuela, pay them compensation for what you took from them. And Venezuela said, fuck you, we're not doing it. So to me, like, that's a private – That's a private property issue. Yes, Venezuela owns Venezuela, but the oil companies paid for what was underground. They paid exactly what they said they would. And there was, by the way, there was a royalty that would have continued to go to Venezuela for the extraction, which would right now exceed the money that they make from 100% of the oil they extract, because they extract dog shit. So I don't know. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is it's complex. And overall, I really don't give a fuck what happens to Nicolas Maduro. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if they put his ass in a catapult and shoot him into sharks. He's a dick. I don't give a fuck. Should we do it? Probably not. But you know what? Us talking about it won't change a damn thing.
Well, that's 100% true. Us talking about it will not change a damn thing.
The pearl clutching is a big thing. I mean, I could go dig it up, but if you go look, you can find clip after clip after clip of Democrats during the first Trump administration saying the indictment means nothing. Trump's not doing anything. Trump's on Russia's side because he's coddling Maduro. Something should be done. Yeah, 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 yeah. So then dude comes back into power, does something, and they lose their fucking minds. Pick one, guys. I feel like we have reached a point well, this has always been the case, but I think even the average person gets this now. The left has no credibility. The selective outrage, like, it plateaued at its peak, and there's nothing they could say now that anybody with a fucking IQ over 68 will listen to.
Didn't they have an election there and a female won, but they never let her take office? She has all the documentation, supposedly. She has fled the country. Are they reinstalling her? Because I heard they're putting the vice president, who is also a female, is going to take charge. And Trump, almost to the T, said they're going to play ball or we're going to kill them.
Pretty much.
I mean, he almost literally word for word said, we're just going to kill them.
Yeah. And I think he means it. I don't know, man. I look at it this way. Like, I don't really know if she won or not. What they allege is not that she won and they took it away. It's the same shit they allege over the 2020 election, that basically the Maduro regime stole the election. They faked the election, which is very probable. And I would put it this way. It's not about socialism or Marxism or democracy or, you know, freedom or right or left wing. In general, in any country, when an economy is kicking its legs like a cockroach, when people are starving, when people are upset, if there's an election, whoever the fuck's in power loses, and loses badly. Well, that was the case in the last election and the one before it, too. So he probably did steal the election. But then the question is that our job?
So there was a Chinese delegation there 15 hours prior to the takedown. Where are they at? Are they in some duffel bags to the side? Like, where are those guys at? Nobody has really said anything. What's China's take on all of this?
Oh, they're pissed. I think the delegation was more like they were part of the, like, looking for the window. Like, we probably knew they were, I'm sure we knew where they were there. And, like, when they left, when we probably didn't want that diplomatic concern. But China's shrieking and they're pissed. And it's because Venezuela was their vassal, like Panama. So the one thing I can say for Orange Man is I can make a case. I don't know that I will, but I can make a case that all this action in South America actually is in America's interest, and far more so than doing Israel's bidding and fucking around in the Middle East and Europe and Ukraine and all that other shit. Like, at least this isn't our backyard. This isn't our hemisphere. And we don't really need or want China hanging out in our hemisphere. And I know somebody say, well, we shouldn't be in theirs either. Okay, fine. Doesn't change what I said, right? Like, we don't really want that. And if the big thing is China has a lot of resources. They do not have a lot of oil. And as much energy as you can produce with coal for electricity and all, when it comes to what their strategic goals are around the world with the Belts and Road Initiative that they have, you need freaking shit you can pump into a vehicle and drive around to do all that stuff.
It sounds
so
like they're
choke pointing their oil supply with Venezuela. They have a big problem now, and that's what they're actually upset about. They don't give a fuck about Maduro as a person. They don't have an emotional problem here. They have a strategic problem now.
Isn't there a bunch of ships trying to break the embargo right now? It sounds like the United States is about to have a bunch of new flagged oil tankers.
Yeah, probably. And, well, you know, now they can come in, that's according to Orange Man. He said, we will sell them all. This is my problem with him. He says dumb shit. And, if you're going to actually pull something off, then you should explain it when you're the president and you say, we're going to run Venezuela. Well, how's that going to work? Right? There's two dudes. I can't think of their name.
Oil there?
Good.
Isn't the oil there only good for military ships? Isn't it's sour oil or something?
It's sour
without crude. Massive refining.
Yeah, but we have refining capacity for that. That's something we have. We can refine sour crude.
I would assume we already have infrastructure in port starting to move to put the oil fields together right now.
Yeah, but how do we run? Here's my question then, John. How do we run Venezuela? How does that work? Because they have this vice president chick, and then they have the other, like, supposed winner. And the vice president chick is even agreed by our country to be less bad than Maduro, and she might play along or whatever. But there's two dudes. I can't think of their names. So one basically runs the military, and one runs kind of like the suppressive civilian militias with these motorcycle fuckers that run around basically just shooting anybody that fucks off and does anything they don't want them to. Those two dudes are actually in control of the country now. unless you're going to go in and surgically remove or strike those guys.
Are they in control, though, or do we just allow that appearance, right? I mean, we just went in and grabbed the king in the middle of the night with very little effort. I mean, I am sure that...
I'm not saying they're not scared.
I'm sure they've already been rounded up and had a talking to. And
maybe. If you flip one of them, the other will go. Like, if you flip one and then they go to the VP chick and say, hey, we need to play ball with the United States, then you got something. But unless you flip at least one of them, and then maybe, the other dude's dead, right? Like, they're going to, like...
And maybe they did. Maybe they did flip her. Wasn't that bounty up to 150 million? I thought it was all the way up to 150.
No, Trump raised it to 50 is what I have.
Is that what it was?
Trump made it 10. No, 15 was the original. And then Biden increased it to 25. And then Trump recently increased it to 50. You're right. 50 million.
Now, I didn't see this, but there was a lot of online gun channel grumblings that Pam Blondie was out there in a press conference and said that some of his charges, they had charged him with possession of machine guns and possession of explosives. A man that has F-16s, and they're charging him with, you know, normal people crimes. I just found that to be interesting.
They'll throw anything at you, but you just hit something with the bounty. Something that I didn't even think about. I haven't been really paying attention, but you know, I get the sound bites and all. You made me think of a soundbite, John. This is an interesting thing you just pointed out with this bounty. I think it was Rubio that was talking and said something like, and now we don't have to pay anybody. And Trump said something like, well, hold on. Or be careful, or we're not sure, or something. Like, we're not, like, wait a minute, we probably shouldn't be saying that. Now, Trump has never wanted to say, we shouldn't be saying something yet. He's always saying the cart before the horse, right? But it might be that one of these clowns or both of these clowns cut the deal, like, hey, we'll enable, because it is weird to me how well this went down. I mean, I know our guys are good, but the Venezuelans have a fucking metric shit ton of very good Russian anti-aircraft weaponry. And we didn't go in like fucking super swift strike team, you know, fast mover jets. And blow the fuck about everything and then go surgically remove him. We went in with formations of fucking helicopters.
Slow helicopters.
Bro, the fastest helicopter is slow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seems like maybe there was some assistance on the ground and it wasn't such a magical thing. And $50 million split two ways. I mean, you give me $25 million, I might go buy an island called Jakistan and tell the world to fuck off for the rest of my life. I'm just saying. Especially if my other option is, one day I'm taking a shit and a cruise missile comes through the roof. I mean, that, like, you get, it, like, I don't know. Well, here's your other option. You know what? Sign me up for that shit.
Yeah.
Could be.
Especially if it comes to, like, a whole, you know, folder full of paperwork and new identity and shit. Because it, you know...
That never happens, Jack. That's not a thing that happens.
And a beach condo in fucking Saipan? Yeah, I might take that deal.
Zelensky just bought the second largest ranch in the United States in the size of landmass, right? That happened 6 months, a year ago. That's where Maduro is going to be. He's going to be hanging out right over. Zelensky did, yeah.
We should have just gave him the fucking land. It would have cost us less than giving him the money and letting him buy it back. Your grandchildren just paid for that fucking ranch. So what do you think about Ukraine, John? You think we're about short strokes on that thing yet?
I don't know. I haven't been hearing anything about Ukraine. I haven't been paying a ton of attention, but the fact that it's not blaring and glazing front, right? Yeah. This is removed. I also, something else that's being, you know, looked over, Ghislaine Maxwell's documents are all out there. And 3 or 4 days ago, I think it was Friday or Saturday, I saw some postings on Instagram, and it was 4 or 5 pages. And there was 4 or 5 people on each one. It said, while you're watching the Maduro thing or Venezuela is being talked about, what you're not seeing, and it had a list of all of these Democratic congressmen, senators, politicians who have been indicted and charged, found guilty child pornography, trafficking of children, all kinds of sex crimes. Now, of course, they were all Democrat because it's being told from the Republican perspective. I'm sure there's equal amount of Republicans on there. But all of these people have quietly just stepped down, gone away, or been, you know, snatched up, and nobody's saying shit about it.
Yeah.
It's not being talked about at all.
All I can say about it, because, again, I've been tuned out since before Christmas, but...
Ukraine Yellowstone.
Anyway, all I can say about it is I know Putin did make a remark to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing, right? This is Jack Spiegel version. I'm tired of dealing with this little fucking ass clown. And clearly they don't actually want to negotiate. And there ain't that much more territory to take as far as to what we want. So we're just going to fucking do that now. That was basically what he said. Like, if you're serious about negotiating, we'll come back to the table. Until then, we're just going to take this last little bit of the Donbass. And what are they going to do then? Say, give it back? I mean, some of these retards still think they're getting Crimea back. That was 2014. That's more than a decade. That ship is gone.
On the Maduro thing, like, he stood up on national television and said, come get me. Like, what did you think was going to – you're lucky you didn't get a missile strike right then.
That would have been funny, even if
when
wrong.
They were doing that bullshit in Iran, and he was on TV talking all his shit.
Yes.
They put a missile right in the building that she was in. That female broadcaster, they missile struck the building when she was running her mouth. Yeah. Reading all that shit, and now you got the dude in Colombia doing the same bullshit.
Yeah, I'm just saying, he was doing the
same
thing.
We're definitely coming,
bro.
Do Cuba next.
FA, you will FO,
especially with Orange Man. You know, like it's
open that whole area up for tourism, like pirate tourism.
Are you the one who shared the FAFO meme where it was like, "We are here," and it's pointing to FO?
Yeah.
Guess what else is being talked about right now?
Yeah, doesn't that sound a little bit more real now?
Yeah,
it always kind of did.
When he first said it, like, I don't actually think we're going to annex Greenland. I think what we're going to do is pressure Denmark to say, hey, listen, you say you care about the freedom of the Greenlander people, and you have by the way, it's a pretty small population center, and you have a record of atrocities that make us look pretty good with what we did to the Native Americans. By the way, if anybody cracks a book and looks at what you did, and we think they should be free and sovereign too. So are you saying they shouldn't be? And then as soon as you get down that road a little bit, you just go to Greenland and go, you guys can't develop your shit. You can't handle your shit. You need somebody to protect you. These Danish fuckers can't do it. How about we put a couple more military bases and stick some oil wells on there and make you a protectorate under treaty of the United States of America, but you're still sovereign and independent. We don't get any say in your government whatsoever. How about that, guys? How's that sound?
Right.
Yeah, I think we're getting the canal back. I think we, for the most part, took the canal back.
Pretty much.
And whether this is the reason or not, it is, in fact, the outcome that it pushes China out. It pushes China out of the canal. It pushes China out of that oil. Russia also, and I think that we're definitely going to war with China eventually. I mean, they keep saying that. They said 25, and then it's been moved back to 27. And whether we're going or not, if it's a cold war, it's still good for the military industrial complex. They're never, they're ramping up, building all that.
I highly doubt a kinetic war with China. Maybe some sort of proxy war. When you start having two nuclear powers lob shit at each other. That's kind of untenable in this world at this point. That's why so many of these third world assholes want a nuclear bomb.
In the beginning of Ukraine, you saw Russia using those Chinese aircraft, and they weren't working. They were being shot down.
I'm not saying their shit is as good as they say it is, but they can lob some yes. missiles with some nuclear. Like, that works. Yes. We've had that technology since 45.
And the word is China said, hey, ground those things. Stop. You're showing that they do not work.
They don't work.
They were getting shot down by shit that should not have been able to shoot them down.
So somebody saying what you're saying, then second Cold War. I agree with that. And I think that if we have any fucking brains, then we need to end this shit in Ukraine, and we need to make Russia a fucking ally in that. And Russia now has more in common with the average person in the fucking United States than all of Europe.
Well, Patton said
it's not even close.
Patton said we should have, yeah, I mean, We should be with Russia. Russia is where we should be right now.
We don't need to be like
doing business with.
But we need to do yeah, exactly. Like basically like, okay, like y'all are cool, we're cool, you do your thing, we do our thing. Stay in your own zone and everything's cool. Because Russia will totally stay in their zone. Russia does not have world domination plans. They well, really Putin don't. They have enough look at the size of the country they have, and they have like what, 130 million people in it?
Putin thought he was coming into NATO. Putin thought he was going to be welcomed in. Clinton said, I think we can do this. There's video apparently of him saying this, you know, back before the AI, but I mean, who knows when that really started. But there's Clinton saying, I thought we could bring Putin into NATO. And as soon as I said some things to a couple of people, that all ended, and that was the end of that.
I'll tell you, if you said I have to live in Berlin right now or Moscow, I'm going to Moscow. I wouldn't have said that 20 years ago.
Yeah, today, Berlin's a beautiful city.
Today, I'm sure the city's beautiful, but you know, when you have countries throwing people in jail for social media posts.
There are Americans moving to Russia that are immediately being conscripted and sent to the war, though.
Most of those people are making that deal, though.
Are they?
Because that's how they'll let you in. You don't just go. It's not like the United States. You don't just go there. If you get in through alternative means, they're not. But there's a lot of Americans that are basically like, yeah, I'll go to the front in return for a Russian passport, basically. And I don't think I'm not doing that deal. Like, if I'm going to Russia or I'm going to Germany, you made me. I don't want to do either one. I'm saying if I have a gun to my head and I have to pick right now, because Moscow, I'm just going to head out freaking east and go out in rural Russia and disappear.
That's I mean, I'd go visit.
Yeah. Yeah. You get out of the city in Russia and it's like West Virginia with people speaking Russian. I mean, it really is. Like, it's actually kind of fun. Go on YouTube and search for like rural Russian community, use search terms like that, and go look at videos that are like mini documentaries and stuff that people have made of life out in the countryside of Russia. I ain't saying it's perfect or anything. I'm just saying I don't know who's bothering them because, again, you got a country that big and 130 million people in it.
There's a ton of video of, you know, around
Japan.
There's a tourism going to Chernobyl. And there's tons of video of people going into those isolation areas. And there's people that just never left. They're still there, old grandmas and shit, living in sheds and stuff all through there. Just like,
oh, yeah,
as though nothing ever happened.
They're living on moonshine and shit. They don't give a fuck.
Potato.
I can't think of a name. There's a name they use for them there. It's the scarf they wear. And they call
Babushka.
What,
babushka or something?
Yeah,
babushka, like that,
right? Yeah. Japan's population is 123 million. Russia's about 130. So there's as many people in all of Russia as the relatively smaller, much smaller nation of Japan. They can only do so much. Like, if you get out until where your low population density is in this country, most people are left alone. You get to a population density like that. Like, I think people still are under this mindset of USSR. You know, 1980 Soviet Union. That's just not, I'm not saying Russia's a free place. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, even totalitarians have limits on what they can do.
M40A5, is that the precision rifle, the sniper rifle? Is that what your name there is? Granny and Moonshine. Someone's getting pregnant.
They all make moonshine out there, and they don't do it to get around the government or whatever. They do it because it's fucking cheap, and they know how.
So apparently Amanda and Red Flyer Media and I all want to go to Russia, so I feel like it's time for a road trip.
You should do it on, like, 1930 Harley Davidsons.
That'd be fun. That would be fun.
It's completely conceivable that we could put a bridge across the Bering and have a fucking train.
That would be awesome.
You better put some serious redundancy in that shit. Yep. If something breaks down, you know, and it wouldn't. And people are going to tell me it's not doable. It's doable. If you look at some of the engineering we've done, it's more than doable. It would not be able to be open year round. That I would say. It would not be a year round thing.
It's a cold walk if you break down.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'd be coated in ice part of the year. Like, I actually have taken a look at like the population of some of the Aleutian Islands, though, and it's crazy. There's some of these islands they have like 45 people that live on them. Like, and you're like, I guess you're left alone. I mean, I guess I can give it that.
Or
why are they going to mess with you? There's nothing to do.
Anthony says Lake Pontchartrain is a 30-mile bridge. I think it's still a bigger endeavor to the depth of the water there, but it's doable.
If you could figure out how to make it float.
Floating bridge.
Mm-hmm.
In the Arctic.
Yeah, it just that's the problem.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But I've watched a documentary on like one of those futuristic documentaries, and they went through the whole thing. Like, it is doable. It can be done. It would be one of man's greatest engineering achievements, but it could be done.
We'd have to work together, though. And right now we're trying to separate from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Koreans did it, right? You can go from like Korea to Moscow on a train now. They don't have to cross big bodies of water, but.
Well, back to the Greenland thing, I think your theory is very possible. They're justifying it based on a military base agreement started under the Biden administration.
Yeah.
So as much as people are pissed off at Trump about this, he's just saying the words.
Yeah. He's saying a lot of things out loud that you're not supposed to say out loud, and some of them are pretty bad. The housing, did you hear what he said about the housing?
No.
Situation. This is fuck young people is what this is.
The 50-year mortgage? Right.
He's right, but it's fuck young people out loud. And it is that if we were to like pull back your regulations, put in policies that are pro-builder, make a lot of more housing, then there's a lot of people sitting on a lot of real estate that would go down in value and adversely affect their wealth. So would all the class warfare people jump to me, he's protecting the boomers. Well, maybe, but he's not worried about the one boomer that lives in the one house that's going to live it until he dies, losing their fucking net worth, because it's not realized net worth anyway. He's worried about the people like him, right? And the lesser versions that are sitting on 100 properties, 100 rental properties. And when you hold that kind of real estate, you have massive cash flow with no taxes because you're constantly refinancing it. And you're running the basically buy it, hold it, borrow against it, die model. Right? And it works under the current system beautifully. But we had this unrealistic appreciation in real property value over the last 7 years. And now if you fix that, some of these motherfuckers will be underwater. Like, they're billionaires today, and they'll be underwater bankrupt tomorrow. And so I think what he was trying to say, he just didn't do it really well, is we have to do it, but we have to do it slowly over time so that we don't destabilize everything. Which I don't know how you're going to do that anyway. It just makes it won't happen while he's holding the ball.
Yeah. Well, eventually it's going to happen no matter who's holding the ball.
Yeah. Well, it has to, right? We have overvalued housing and a declining population. So why are we still like we're throwing all these illegal aliens out, but we're importing massive numbers of Pakistanians and Indians, and et cetera, on H-1B. Why do you think that is? Because if you actually drop the population, the price of real estate will go down. Supply and demand, 101 economics. It's not hard, you know? And then they're doing the same thing in college, right? That's why they give all these student fucking visas out. What's his name? Steven Shitbag, his chief of staff guy, said that on Fox News. He was like, if we don't do the H-1Bs, because they were saying, like, if you didn't do this, how many more Americans would get into Stanford and Yale and Harvard and Princeton and Brown, et cetera, and Columbia that don't now? And he said, well, if you do that, then everybody moves up a level and your lower level institutions go out of business.
Didn't he say he was going to charge? Isn't there a fee for H-1B visas, right? Wasn't it $1 million bond or something like that?
It was $100,000 or something.
$100,000?
Pretty expensive.
Wasn't that kind of like a done deal? I thought that was happening.
He did it, but I don't know that it's actually being done. But even if it is, look at it this way, right? So I'm a tech now. I'm probably not going to do this with somebody that I'm going to pay to be my books administrator at a college as an assistant to a professor. But if I'm hiring tech people, which is mainly what, you know, this is supposed to be for, and I can hire, you know, Ahmed and bring him in, and I can pay him $70,000 a year, and I have to pay $100,000 up front, and that H-1B is for 7 years. right?
Now paid yearly, though. Paid yearly.
Right? No. 7 year. I have to pay again if I renew it. That's it. That visa is a 7 year visa. So now if I hire John Willis as my technical guy and he's a coder and I have to pay him $130,000 a year versus 70, and I do that math over 7 years, I'm buying a visa. It's a math calculation at that point.
Yes, it's part of their salary. It's part of their total compensation package.
It's just, what does this cost?
And if you're bringing people in who will take less salary, then that kind of equals things out.
If I have to pay, you know, not say it's about $13,000 a year, I have to add to that guy's salary. So as long as I can get him for $50,000 less than you, I'm not happy, but I'm making the same choice. Trump's idea is that, but that'll bring money to America.
Well, see, John Willis just posts locally in his network, come in and work and I'll pay you what you're worth. And then we all get our popcorn out and watch the comments go nuts.
Yeah. I literally ask him, okay, you've seen this job now for a couple hours. What do you cost? What do you cost? Well, what do you mean? What are you going to charge me to stand? Like I put it in their court. What are you going to charge me to stand here and do this job? What is, you set the price. How you have seen the task. What will you be happy to show up every day and do this for?
The right answer to that's $50 an hour.
And well, they never do that. But the people grumbling the most were never the person that showed up. They don't know any of these people. Yeah. They're not involved in it. It's the same ones every day. When you click the dude talking shit and you click his name every day, who's hiring? Who's hiring? Who's hiring? Yeah. No one's hiring. Well, when you tattooed a penis on the side of your face, you kind of fucking precluded yourself from the workforce. What do you think was going to happen?
I mean, there's foundation, John.
There is that Ford commercial, though, that guy, there was a guy, he did a bunch of riffs where, like, he would insert himself into the car commercials, and it was like the one where they were marketing some new thing to young kids or something, like college age, and there was a dude, and he literally had a penis on his neck. And no one noticed it until this guy made this spoof video, and he goes, wait a minute, is that a penis on your neck? And then, like, they outline it. And I don't think it was supposed to be a penis, but it was a penis.
That's the risk. That's the risk you have.
Brandel.
Mock.
Brandel.
He had a big Boston accent, this guy.
And Brandel, our media guy, said that he knew that by tattooing things on his forehead, he had no choice but to be self-employed and make it his own. That was his burn the boats when he started tattooing. He's fully tattooed.
Yeah.
He's tattooed every weekend. That's kind of his thing. He sets up tattoo studios. He sets up podcasts for rock stars, like major, major rock stars and stuff. But that was his thing is I was never going to be employable. And no matter what I did, it was all on me and I had to do it. And he's done amazing shit with it.
If it works for you, amazing. It works for you.
Yeah.
If it works for you, it works for you.
If you can hire Brandel to do work for you, and that's like a big A-team. Capital I if,
he's
do
like
it.
He's like
even if you quote-unquote can't afford it, hire Brandel.
You know, and the thing is, you only have to get where you're like 70% of capacity before you start declining work and you become that person.
Yeah.
Like if you try to do that when you have like one customer, it won't work. But if you have enough work to pay the bills and you just start turning some people down because – I don't like then people actually start bidding you up.
And you just loudly tell people no.
But
it enrages other people that are not involved in the situation. And then they advertise for you.
So, John, what's your marketing strategy?
That's it. Right there.
Piss everybody off. Tell them no, they can't buy from me.
Nope.
And then when they throw a fit, turn their name into a discount code.
You just take
sale. That's the Willis model. And build the best shit there is.
I like it when he blows the gear up they were gonna get that he's not shipping to him.
If John was repackaging Chinese nylon garbage, his business model would be self-destructive to the extreme. It only works because he builds a fucking rigger belt that you can hook two trucks up to and they can stall each other and it doesn't come apart. That's why it works, because the product on the underside of that attitude is worthy of that attitude. Those two things have to be in balance. And I would say in John's case, the product's literally overbuilt for the attitude. So it's marketing gold.
Dark Horse, where are you, man? I'm seeing your post, but I'm not real sure what all's going on here. Arizona
Cop- kid, but I think he has multiple personality disorder, man.
Arizona Copper Penny. Did they stop making copper pennies? That has ceased, right? Can you go to the bank and currently get, can I want a couple 5 gallon buckets of copper.
You can get them. They're just not making them anymore. But what you want, if you want copper, you want 81 and back.
But I want them for like a floor eventually. I just want to have
you can just go buy
buckets of copper
all the fucking pennies you want. They add up to a
just
lot of
mail
weight.
Mail your
really
copper
fast.
Pennies to Special Operations Equipment.
I'd love it. You send them.
Years and years ago when I found out about the 82 split, right? I got this bag and I started throwing fucking pennies in like a super heavy duty bag. And it was in my closet in my proper office that I'm gutting now. And I just kept throwing fucking pennies in there. Well, when I had to clean the office out so we could remodel it, I could barely carry the bag.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now what am I going to do with this shit? Copper's
give them to
money.
John.
Give it to John. You want to try? They're all pre-82s. Or so here's the trick. If you actually want to do this and make your life miserable in the future, you take a 1982 penny, and it could be copper or it could be zinc. You don't know. When you flick it, and you have to flick it so your thumbnail kind of hits it,
ping looking for
copper one, it makes a different ping than the zinc ones. And you do it like three times. You're like, I got it now. And you can absolutely like instantly ping copper, bing, zinc. Like that easy.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I'm fucking weird. I admit
it. Do you remember when you were a kid, every house you went to your friend's house, they all had that 5 gallon Sparklets bottle full of change. Do you remember that? You don't ever see, kids will never know that anymore.
No.
A video popped up on YouTube the other day with all the reasons that you should have actual media, right? You should own CDs and stuff. And I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. I should probably get a CD player. And then it started showing me more videos. So everybody's going back to iPods. And now there's a company that sends you split the back. They've got a bigger back and it does Bluetooth and USB-C charging and stuff. But man, there is a huge, huge market for this stuff. It is massive. The people out there doing CDs and iPods and stuff like that now.
Well, John, how many pennies do you need? There's a whole bunch of people with them.
I mail them to me. I will take them.
We could drop them off in person, right?
Yes. Yes. Just mail them. People mailed. There was some movie set that was some TV show was shutting down and everybody's irate. So they started mailing bricks to the studio. And they said they had like thousands and thousands of bricks show up over a couple weeks.
That's when you build your wood-fired pizza oven.
That's right.
You know, if anybody's wondering why we're on about pennies, though, dig this. Right now, if you have $100 worth of pre-1982 pennies, the copper value is $393.
Wow.
That's why people do it. But I don't know how you're ever going to – like, first of all, that's a lot of pennies and a lot of work for $300.
There's an app out there that you take pictures of all of your change, and it pinpoints which ones have high numismatic value or collector value.
That's cool, because then the one thing is worth, $10 or $100. But I just want to think about it. Like, if I had to melt $500 worth of pennies into copper ingots – how much would the time and energy cost me relative to the differential in the value?
Yeah. Well, because they don't, it's like the crackhead stealing copper. If he paid himself minimum wage, stealing the copper is not of value for the effort put into that and the tools required to do it, you know?
Yeah, and this person's right too. Nickels actually have a ton of copper in them. They're mostly copper. I'm sure that's next. I think the nickel's gonna die next. I think I'm gonna make the nickels.
Have you guys run into like signs at the store saying we need pennies yet? Because I've started running into that.
No.
I don't go to stores, so I haven't.
I was in Idaho. I had to go to a store to eat dinner.
I got you.
Yeah. And they had a big old sign, we need pennies. And I'm we like, I need not to have change in here.
Go to the bank. I mean, I think it's an artificial shortage at this point because there's a lot of pennies out there, man. Not everybody has a giant bag in their closet like I do. I can't believe that.
I mean,
you could still find silver relatively easily in change in the 80s. That had been 20 years. Because I remember that. Somebody said something about the different sound of silver. The silver's so distinctive. Like, when you grab a handful of change, if there's a silver coin in there, you hear it instantly if you know what to listen for.
Yep.
But there can't be a penny shortage yet. I do remember in 82 there was.
Are they just not resending pennies or something? I think that's what I think has started happening, and then the stores only have the pennies that are in circulation.
Yeah, that's.
And then that requires you to pay with pennies, and people don't because they don't want to mess with the change. So
what I remember from the past, I remember I was like in second grade or third grade in Catholic school before I got kicked out the first time. And they had us bring pennies in to teach us how to open bank accounts. But what they were really trying to do, like there was this, like schools everywhere did it apparently, and they were trying to get pennies back into the banks because there was a penny shortage because the government was, before they made that change to zinc, and then it took time to make the switch over and start producing them, they were not producing enough pennies because they were losing money for every penny.
Yeah. If you're going to pay with cash, you must have exact change only is coming up. I don't know why the stores don't just round up or down to the 5 cents. Like, seriously, just change your. Yeah. The problem is that the sales tax messes you up because it's to the penny. But what they're going to eventually push through is that everybody rounds to the nearest five.
That's what they're going to do. I think they're
going to make everybody's 7.97 ending.
And then the corporation will retain that extra.
So it'll be $8. Yeah, I think you're going to do it to the dime, honestly. And there, you know, the thing is, if you do it now, there's going to, even if 99% of people are like, fine, you could have one Karen in line is going to fuck up your operation if you're a retail store. She's going to be there for 25 fucking minutes. And because I've been through this for different reasons, but like the person's arguing over a nickel. And I'm just like, fucker, here's $1. Please let me get out of this line. And they won't take it.
Or you're going to.
It's not the money, it's the principle.
Or you're going to donate it to a homeless shelter or something.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. We round up and donate proceeds to, you know, the homeless once a month.
Which they don't. Walmart retains all that shit.
The coolest thing I ever saw like that was a restaurant in Asheville. And it was a Mexican restaurant. And you know how many people go to Mexican restaurants and they get their meal and it comes with rice and beans? And they don't eat the rice and beans? And what they said, if you don't want your rice and beans, you tell us and we account for it. And then they once a week took rice and beans to the homeless shelter.
Hmm.
And it was absorbed that way. And then they got the full revenue and they really weren't worried about the write-off at that point or anything. They just went and like, okay, then there's X, you know, because they know exactly how much they use per plate. And they could just do the math. And once a week, they went down to the homeless shelter and served rice and beans.
Everybody's very into this pennies discussion, guys.
So Pip and I's.
Now we're going to CBDCs.
The iPod is no longer supported by Apple, and there's a bunch of apps and stuff out there that are programs you can actually reflash the Apple with, so you don't have to use the iTunes thing.
I remember when the iPod was the device to have.
Yeah. I've got two classics. I've got a shuffle. I've got a couple of the old shuffle and the little micro shuffles.
Year one, I gave away an iPod Nano in my first contest to build.
I remember. Yeah. And you also had the ones that were laser engraved. Or logoed on the back.
Well, it's what I said. It was just engraved because Apple would do that. And it was be an ant, not a grasshopper.
Yeah.
We gave
everybody in my shop an iPod shuffle and Beats headphones. And within 90 days, you could not identify a single one. They were wherever they went, I don't know where they went. We put probably 24 of them in there.
Yeah, this person here says the coin banks are underrated. I bought a $20,000 truck when I was in my 20s with an $8,300 deposit. I cashed in with just coins. I think the reason, like Nicole's observation, and not every, or was it John that said it, the big 5-gallon glass jar, why people don't do that anymore? People don't use cash.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think they don't value the change at all like we used to. I think they don't get much change because they don't use much cash.
I used to do everything in cash, and I would go to the ATM and pull out my $300 daily limit off of three debit cards. So I'd pull $900 in cash, and I would pay for everything in cash, but I would only use 20s. Anything lower than a 20, I would put in a shoebox.
Okay.
And in about 6 months, I bought a Cadillac Escalade with the money in the shoebox at the end of that period. A used one, pre-owned.
So anything that broke a 20. So if you had $18, it
Only paid in 20s because that's what the ATM gave you. Anything below that went into the shoebox. I still have that shoebox. It's a Vans tennis shoebox.
Is there money in it now?
No, it's full of just like stuff from when I was a kid, little things,
All right.
You know.
All
right. It's his treasure chest.
Yeah, exactly. Treasure chest.
Yeah. I remember Vans.
I remember Vans too.
I'm wearing Vans right now.
They still make them. Okay.
Yeah.
Are they checkerboard Vans?
Or maybe they're Converse. Maybe they're Converse.
Vans were the checkerboard ones, and then everybody colored them in.
We'll
all
remember. I remember that, drawing all over your Converse canvas. Yeah.
And his shoes. Yeah, tennies, man.
Bro, you remember in the old days where you could throw your shoes in the washing machine and wash them?
Without them coming apart?
Yeah.
And now you cannot do that.
I have, when I find shoes that I like, I usually buy 6 or 7, 10 pairs of them, and I'll have them just in a closet. I have a closet with a lot of shoes. And I'll pull a brand new pair out. The adhesives are no longer any good in them. They're brand new shoes. I bought them 10 years ago, probably a bunch of Salomons and stuff. And the adhesive holding them together is no good. It's just trash.
So you didn't even wear them. They just fell apart.
Brand new out of the box.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. You get a couple weeks out of them, a month or two, but they just come apart.
That's crazy. Because like you're saying, throw them in the washing machine. Like the old original Converse, right?
Yeah.
It was just like heavy canvas and like rubber made from a rubber tree that you could have made a tire out of. And yeah, you could throw a pair of those and they clunk, 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 clunk.
Yeah.
But they cleaned up and you put them back and they were fine. They had to get rid of that shit, I guess. You know?
Arizona Copper Penny, a lot of places charge a 3% on credit card no matter what. And if you're using a debit card, they won't let you select the credit card because the business gets charged that processing fee. But as a debit card, they do not get charged a processing fee. Now, I suspect major businesses like Walmart and such have a negotiation that they don't pay the fee anyways, but they do, in fact, make you, I think it was Home Depot or Lowe's or someplace, they will not let you run a debit card as credit. They make you actually input your PIN in there.
Anybody you remember Kenny's, John? Kenny's shoe store?
Yep. And Buster Brown.
We were such retards. Kenny's put GASS on the bottom of their shoes for Great American Shoe Store. So the first thing we did, back in Catholic school again, is carve the G off. So when you ran around in the playground, it had ass everywhere.
Yep.
Josh, that's what you do in 1983.
Absolutely.
When you're freaking 14 or 13.
I don't know. It just wore out.
Yeah. It's like in 2 days.
Scott, it's planned obsolescence, man. We made it.
I don't know that the devices are really that bad for kids because when we didn't have them, some of the shit we got into might actually be worse. There's no record of it.
Get into that shit.
What's that?
It's important to get into that shit and learn how to get out of it without getting caught.
Yeah, on some levels. And then there's other things you look back and you go, how did none of us die?
That's true.
How are none of us in prison? Like, how did we do all that shit and get away with it and not get seriously injured? Because we all got hurt. I mean, hurt was par for the course. I remember gluing a freaking cut shut with super glue because I was afraid to tell my granddad that I cut myself.
Yeah, I have this scar right here. I was cutting some pampas grass and caught the wrist. So I tried to hold it together and then wore a long sleeve velour sweatshirt so that nobody saw it. And by the time the fourth grade teacher saw it, it was too late to get stitches by the time mom found it, by the time I was told on.
Luckily you didn't have gangrene.
Yep.
The question is, are the shoes falling apart because they got worse or because the washer got better? I think it's because the shoes got worse.
Yeah, it's planned obsolescence. They use adhesives intentionally that do not hold together. And I'm sure there's going to be some PFAS and some toxicity and shit like that. But
yeah. Well, it's also because they're using more of the synthetic materials, too. Because it's very hard to find non-synthetic things at this point that are worth a darn. And even jeans. It's like I'm to the point where I just want to buy canvas and just start sewing them, except for I don't want to start sewing them. I want to find a company who does that, and then I don't want them to look like ass.
Yeah. The last time Alan Booker was not here, but when he was at your place and I talked to him, I didn't know this about him, but he told me he doesn't wear any clothing at all made of synthetic material. And I'm like, that might be a little bit extreme. But then I was like, wait a minute, how hard is that? It's way harder than you think it is. Even when you see something like cotton, it's what it says. And then when you read it, it's like a cotton poly blend.
Yeah. Like, try to get bed sheets that are 100% cotton.
Yeah.
Or 100% something.
Yeah, linen. Yeah. Artley Murphy, we bought three small extra short M65 field jackets last weekend. I don't notice mediums, but I do see the shorts. I use medium regular.
Medium regular.
Speaking of jackets, the hoodie that you sent me, John, is awesome.
They're beautiful.
They're badass. Great. Like that, like the redesign of that logo, and yep, then the thick.
And then just not printing it on the black, but putting black print in there. It really, you see it at a distance. You're not sure what it says, but you know it's there.
Yeah, you're sure what it says when you get closer.
Yep. Yeah, I was just surprised at how hard it actually is. And like bed sheets and shit too. Like a lot of stuff, like you're like, okay, bamboo. Owl. Like bamboo fabric actually feels really nice, but then you read it, none of it's all
chemicals.
It's but not the chemicals bamboo.
Yeah, the chemicals involved in bamboo too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing a concerted effort here to make sure all of the things like that when replaced are 100% something. And it's hard. And then it will say it's 100% and you get it and you read the tag. And it was advertised as 100%, but the tag says something else.
I want a tube. Yeah, I have a scar on my nose from a BB gun. And I shot Mike Wilson's canine tooth out. And I shot John Wilson in the shoulder. And we had to pop the BB out of there. And none of us ever had eye pro. It's a wonder. None of us. We all still have all of our eyeballs.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it. We were pretty good about not in the face. It would happen, but it wasn't usually on purpose. Or somebody, like, there's the FAFO, right? Or somebody did it first. That's the same thing with the two-pump rule. You hear clack, clack, clack. You're like, all right, clack, 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 clack.
Yep.
Yeah. That's how that works. You hear somebody else, clack, 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 clack.
Well, I have been armed for this entire live stream, just for the record.
What's that? Oh, your arm?
This is the anti-tiny terrorist defense system.
For the cat?
Yeah,
I talked to Fairfell.
Sitting on the counters, and I'm like, nope.
Yesterday.
You talked to who? John just went into
He maxed out room on us.
He's gonna get to sell us that like six more times before we can hear. There, are you back?
Not yet.
Fairfell, Aguera. Oh.
Fernando.
Survival.
He's Fernando. Trying to say Fernando.
Cool.
Yep. Fairfell is his. It was always his handle on all the forums. Amanda said, I wonder what his take on this, because he's in Venezuela. I wonder what his take is. So I went and looked at a couple of things, left a post, and he commented right back. And he said, yeah, we'll see. It definitely seems like it's for the good. But I just was curious whether he was putting content out, because he had left Argentina and went to Venezuela.
When did he go to Venezuela? Because he originally went to Ireland.
I'm pretty sure he's in Venezuela. I thought that's his whole thing. He had put out those books and stuff, remember?
Yeah, I remember the books, but I had him on like after he left Argentina. He was living in Northern Ireland.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I really think he's in Argentina. Maybe I'm completely off on that. I know he's done a bunch of videos with Matt Bracken.
Yeah.
They were doing a ton of videos.
He may have moved to South America. I don't know, man. Fairfell Blogspot. That's his old blog. That's last entry there is 2020.
Yeah, I think his YouTube is Modern Survival, which I thought was funny because wasn't that your online handle? I thought that was your online handle.
Yeah, but I never took it as a handle early on in all the socials, so everybody ripped it off. Because I'm dumb. I made that mistake.
There's a lesson in that.
But I had him on not that long ago. I mean, it's probably 5 years ago.
Oh, his is the Modern Survivalist.
That's it. That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's Vin now? I don't know where somebody's asking about Vin. I'm sure they mean Vin Armani. Last I heard, he was in Saipan. I think he ever left.
He's still there.
Yeah. Oh, he's pretty happy there.
He's really happy there. I talked to him maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking about homesteading farming stuff that, you know, I think they're starting to do more of that there, people in the area. But he really likes it there.
Yeah.
So, and they've got a pretty interesting community around them.
He's got, you know, Showtime royalties. And Saipan Living is pretty easy on his money, so that's probably pretty hard to give up once you realize that. Like, the move itself is the hard thing. Once that's done, and it was COVID that made him do that. He really thought, like, the full totalitarian thing was coming.
Well, they were trying.
There were signs.
They weren't going to get it done, though. It was pretty flat obvious, at least in this country. And but I think, like, if that's the impetus, that's one thing. But once you're there, you're like, wait a minute, this is all right. It never freezes. It never gets cold. It never gets that hot. I can go spearfishing every morning. You know, I can live across the street from the beach for $1,400 a month in a 4-bedroom house with a pool. And I could pay, you know, $500 a month for somebody to clean it and take care of the pool. I think I'm going to stay.
And Jack, see trouble in our economy for 2026?
Of course. There's always trouble in our economy.
There's also opportunity out there.
That's where I was going. What are you going to do with the trouble? The trouble should be your opportunity, man. I divide society mostly by this metric. There are about 80 to 90% of people that see a problem as a problem that somebody should fix. And there's 10 to 20% of the population that sees a problem and goes, what can I do to benefit from that problem? Either by solving it, mitigating it, building a product for it, what can I do to leverage that problem through a solution to enrich myself? And so I hope there's problems because it makes me a lot of money.
I think my target audience has completely refined itself in the coffee business because of the economic situation.
Hmm.
Well, I know that actually. And I tested it in December and I was right.
So how did you test it?
I tested it by adjusting my marketing focus. And it was the biggest month I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I didn't talk to anybody, by the way.
Oh, I understand.
It turned into a lot. I mean, because then when you sell it, you got to send it. But yeah. But I'm just going to keep that moving into January.
There is always opportunity. I really encourage everybody. I know it's mainstream media and all, but shows like The Food That Built America, The Brands That Built America, the Men That Built America, I think they're on Learning or Discovery or something like that. You learn so much in those about the genesis of wealth in this country, and you learn how many of these great brands were built in the middle of the recessions of the 1800s and the Great Depression. And the answer is the majority of them were. That's when the biggest wealth was built in some, at least the genesis of it, in some of the worst times in the country. Because when there's bad times, there's lots of problems. And when there's lots of problems, there's lots of opportunities. Even some of like the candy companies, during the Great Depression, they were marketing how many calories that you got for your money if you bought a Mars bar.
Like, that's a good thing.
Right? Yeah. Like, well, when you're, you know what?
The Depression.
When you're like, you're starving? Yeah. You know, and that was the days before fructose, corn syrup and shit too. At least it was just candy.
Yeah. I remember seeing advertising about how a spoonful of sugar after school was how you kept your energy up to get good grades. Because of... Okay.
Well, I'm gonna eat that right now. You know how kids are, too.
I'm trying to do the opposite of stuff like that, but okay.
But you know how kids are, too. Like, if a little is good, more is better.
A lot better.
I love how they always thought we were eating healthy as kids because they bought a cereal that was sugar-free, but then they let us have a sugar bowl. And you would eat like 8 times more sugar because it would all go to, it wouldn't melt in the milk. So it would all go to the bottom.
Yeah.
So you kept adding more. But then when you ate all the cereal, what'd you do?
Drank it. Yeah.
Drank the milk with like 4 cups of sugar in it.
I remember those days.
Sponsored by Big Sugar. Somebody will make a clip out of this and that's what they'll say next. Shakespeare goes gone back on his word. He's a shill for Big Sugar now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, do
it. I hope they do. I should do that.
Go ahead.
We can get the big old fake internet fight, Jack. John could join us.
Mirko said.
He has time for that shit. Yeah, Cheerios with a pound of sugar.
There was one more like current event thing I wanted to hit on today, and now I don't remember what it is.
I mean, I was, you have a thingy there, but I don't know. You know, I will say that while I was aware that there were current events happening, it's with all of the other things required to build a business, I'm just not that hyper-focused on it, and I used to be a lot more hyper-focused on it. Like, I know I'm more on the local side. Like, we have the zoning fights happening here, and an interesting change from our ag department in Tennessee where they're trying to do more decentralized, small-scale outreach, which I hate being involved with government, but at the same time, if that's what's happening, I'll suck it up.
I feel like small-scale decentralized outreach means we're coming and we want to look around your shit so that we know what you'll have when we pass our laws so that we, you know, can come and get on you.
It may mean that, but it also may be an opening for some people to influence those cottage food laws to be more free.
Just
there's a real uprush from the bottom that they are seeing, and it's hard to ignore that because the votes of the individuals matter on the local level here.
All you need is a good perimeter fence, John, and then let Porthos out of his corral.
That's true.
That's it. We want to come in. Good luck with that, bro.
Yeah, fences and gates.
Too, just so you know.
And no trespassing signs.
Mm-hmm.
And key codes if you have a membership to pick up product from your store. That's not a store. It's a membership place.
That's something that more and more people, I think, do need to do. I think it's being overplayed right now, the private membership thing and all, as to what it can do. But it's not like it doesn't do anything. I'm sorry, you're not a member. You can't come in. Can I buy a membership? Did somebody sponsor you for a member? The board will vote on you next month. Nobody sponsored you? I'm sorry, it's a private club for members. You can't come in. Do you have a warrant? No. Okay, you already asked that question anyway, but you kind of have another layer then. Well, we want to check around. I don't know. Are you from the state's private membership association control board? Oh, it's up. That doesn't exist. Oh, well, fuck off.
Mm. I'm actually going to be talking to Alan Booker tonight because he's been doing a lot of work.
Waiting for that to drop. His little nefarious plan to rule the world.
It's really taking shape, Jack. So
yeah. And he's the guy that'll have the patience to put it together. Right. Everybody's talked about it, but it has to be legally airtight. And I know some of the people that they've consulted with are like people that are members of the Supreme Court bar, which means you're a lawyer that has the credential to be able to argue a case in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That's not small time. So I think he'll nail it.
No, I was talking to somebody else who runs a private membership association sort of thing in the Knoxville area. And she said the reason she didn't go PMA
Yeah.
It's that you're not allowed to use a lawyer to defend it. You have to know everything and defend it if they go after you. And so she opted for, I think it's an LLC. It's a different level of protection. She said, but I can bring a lawyer in and I'm not the person who's going to learn all the things to defend it. It's just not like I'm here to link people with homestead grown food.
I'm not sure how you enforce that because this person is a member and they happen to be a lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure how that works.
Shane Gables, what is it you do, man? You made your first $1,000 at SOE. I'm guessing you mean it like SRF. What's your product? Oh, you're the knife dude. Imagine if all you guys had the same name across all your platforms. You're edgy American, right? Imagine if your name said knives in it.
Shane is now setting up a new YouTube channel, I hope. Edgy American Blades.
Edgy American.
I bet you can still get that on YouTube.
American Made Knives.
You could probably just change the name on the channel.
Yeah, sometimes you can change it. It just depends.
Okay, Silver, dude, what's up, man?
I had one where I couldn't change something, and I ended up renaming my username some garbage vomit set of letters so that it would not be confusing to me.
Yeah, you need to set your YouTube account up as a business account right away also, because we had 4 million views or comments or something crazy, but when we converted right there to business, we lost all the previous comments.
Oh, And that's the danger with setting up a new account, too. You lose all your traction that you already have.
Yeah.
That's
never... But, I mean, if you have any kind of traction, you can...
Yeah, if you don't, then there's...
And your algorithm would probably be better with a brand new account because you don't have all those subscribers that aren't interacting. Everybody that jumps over there will interact. And, you know, we broke 100,000 followers, and YouTube still didn't give us our play button. It did nothing for us. We make nothing on YouTube. I still make $2,500 a month on YouTube.
And you pay how much for that?
$4,000 a week.
Yep. See?
To your production people.
Yeah, because he has a good production team.
We do a lot of other stuff also.
I feel pretty good about my $1,200 on average now.
Yeah, we do a lot of other things.
Because I don't spend anything.
I'm
in the 10% club, Jack.
Yeah.
All of our weekly promo stuff's in there. Everything's in there.
So I did remember the other current events thing that's going on. It's kind of fun. Is Mr. Waltz is turning the page.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Instead of prison.
And I love how everybody kind of like, you know, why didn't MSNBC, CBS, and whatever talk? Fox News didn't cover the daycare shit either until some kid went and did it. Right. Yeah. They'll drag on that kid's coattails. But like, why did it take a 20 something kid to like just actually go to the places where these people are getting all this money for these daycares? But are there any kids here?
Well, they've just hired.
It's not just the daycares. There's another one supposedly feeding hungry people.
They just hired.
I faked it out, and they had an average of 40 people a day going there, and they were getting paid for something like 6,000 people a day.
They just hired pretend daycare kids. They just hired and paid. They got busted paying kids and paying families to bring children in to make content showing that those daycare have children. And there's a bunch of footage that's being dug up right now as far back as I think 6 years ago saying the Somalis are frauding the daycare system. Like there's a ton of footage on social media that's being brought back up.
Didn't know. There's no way that this wasn't a known
problem. Of course, the corrupt politicians knew. The NGOs in there knew. The Somalis didn't come up with that shit on their own. They don't even have bank accounts, most of them.
I guarantee you, you could go to any state and find examples of it, including my own and y'all's.
They are right now. They're going to many states.
They need to, right? I just think maybe it was worse there because they have a huge Somali population. And I know somebody's going to say this is racist or wrong or some shit to say, but... You're talking about a country where the average IQ is 68.
Why are what used to be considered mentally retarded here in the United
70.
States?
70.
I believe it was 80, and they lowered it. It was
GPT says it's 70.
I believe it was 80. I believe it was 80, and we lowered it to 70.
Oh, okay.
Because too much of our population
was
being considered retarded.
That's why they went on a war against the word.
Yeah.
So they moved the ruler a couple times and like, fuck, we're running out of ruler.
The Somalis come in.
Can't say the word no more.
And the Somalis come in even below what we considered that.
Yeah, 68. That's an average. That doesn't mean all Somalis are stupid. That does not mean. It does mean that the average person is barely mentally functional.
No, most of them.
Yeah.
I wonder how much nutrition plays in on that.
It can't.
Oh, it's inbreeding. It's inbreeding. That's why they have the distended foreheads.
Observe things because that makes me white supremacist or evil or some shit or eugenicist. But when you look at certain people, there is a look to inbreeding.
Eugenics didn't start as a terrible thing. Eugenics was a real thing. Like there was a reason behind that. When you look at Appalachia, right? Look at the big distended heads and stuff. That's from inbreeding.
Slack jawed inbred bucket.
Yes.
Head.
No chin. No chin. Looks like
there's
the Simpsons.
A
yeah.
There's a look. I'm sorry. It's an observable fact. If it makes you uncomfortable, your uncomfortableness is with facts, not my words. It's just reality. And so I don't think we need to be importing people with 68 IQs. I really don't. I just don't think we can benefit from that in any way, shape, or form. And we have these retarded politicians now saying Somalis built America. I don't think you know what the fuck you're talking about at all. I think they're trying to harken back to slave labor and all that shit. I don't think that's where the majority of slaves from Africa came from.
Somali built America. Who built Africa?
Well,
who built the buildings that are more than one story high? Who built the roadways? Who put in the electrical? Not the
European.
Go to Somalia right now, right? Somalia used to be like the French Riviera. There was massive palaces and shit, right? What did they do now? What happened when Scully was there right after, like days after Black Hawk Down, right? They were busting out all of the rebar out of those beautiful palaces. They live in a shed, a shack, a tent, and they're destroying the palaces, taking the rebar, and their ships in port from China buying the rebar for scrap. They wouldn't live in the, they won't
That's
live in the compound.
That's actually painful.
They won't live under a roof. They live in a tent.
Yeah, and it was Italy that built most of that shit in
Somalia. Yeah,
it was Italy.
Look at Iran. In the 60s and 70s, you went to Iran like you went to Breckenridge.
Yep. No doubt. No. Yeah. Iran, Afghanistan used to be a beautiful place to go on vacation.
Everybody wants to, you know, talk about conquering and, you know, and just indigenous people and shit. If you don't rule savages with an iron fist, everybody's up in arms over empire. Who was the guys that they just arrested a bunch of retards out in the desert? Five or six of them. The feds had the Turtle Group or whatever, right? And they're like, we need to displace. You never see a motherfucker protesting empire and occupation other than a white person. They ain't a Native American. It's not any of those people. It's a fat white liberal chick with the rainbow colored hair. They just had a Nazi white supremacist get together at Montgomery Bell in Dixon, Tennessee. And I was very surprised to find out I wasn't invited. And when you looked at it, who was there? The people from Arkansas that are doing they bought that thousands of acres and they're doing their white community, right?
Yeah.
And then they said, there's a group in Tennessee apparently doing the same thing. Never heard of them. You had a bunch of people. I truly, had I seen the list, I would have gone to this. I'm curious what it was. You know who was out there protesting? Only trans flags and gay pride shit. The only people out there protesting. There wasn't any of the people that are supposedly being held down. There wasn't a single one of them out there.
There's two things I noticed about the protests over Maduro. Number one, they went in about 3 o'clock in the morning, and by 7 a.m. in Manhattan, there were professionally printed
signs,
parking signs with people marching through the streets. If you Priscilla. Think that's organic, you're too fucking retarded to explain
it. Well, they got nearly 100 people out in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's, I mean,
but what
they
I was
couldn't
really,
even amplify that a little bit.
Do you see the mouthpiece they had, right? They had the Mexican kid out there, and they're like, so what do you think about Maduro? I don't know, foo. I'm just here. I support the blah, blah, blah. Well, but what do you think about all these people? I don't really know, man.
Yeah.
I'm just here for girls with the hairy armpits.
The number of Venezuelans that were going to tell these retards to shut the fuck up. Like, I'm from Venezuela. I grew up in Venezuela. I had to flee. You don't understand. Wait a minute. What do you mean the motherfucker doesn't understand? Like, he lived there. Did you live there? Did you ever been there? Have you ever been outside of your little gated fucking community your stupid ass lives in? No? Then why don't you shut the fuck up? Maybe you'll learn something. I'm not even saying you would agree with him, but don't you think when you have someone that actually lived in the country telling you what it's like, you might want to shut up for 30 seconds and listen? That seems like a reasonable request.
It's a totally reasonable request.
Roke says U.S. was heavily involved in eugenics. Absolutely they were. We were the pioneers. Hitler actually praised us for it. He sent scientists here to the United States. And eugenics was just rebranded as Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, the charter on the wall in Planned Parenthood, word for word, is the eugenics charter.
It is.
I didn't know about eugenics till I heard Jack talk about it forever ago, and he was talking about it still on the books as laws in certain states. And they had this girl who had gotten pregnant. She was a little slow, and they euthanized. They didn't euthanize her. They sterilized.
They aborted.
And I was fascinated by this, having started to look into asylums and stuff, and it all went hand in hand. That's where they were able to actually push most of it. But there are still little historic sites in small towns in Virginia and different places that was the office of eugenics, and the card catalogs, everything's still there.
There were freaking German scientists who wrote letters to U.S. scientists and politicians and congratulated the United States on having the courage to go first. I'm not saying we should have done it. I'm just saying it happened, that's what happened. And then, you know, It's just typical. It's a political agenda. The pearl clutching begins immediately when the adversary is doing the thing that you did, but you don't like the adversary anymore. And now it's wrong.
What are they going to rename it? That's what I want to know.
Because
they're doing it with genetic, like,
well, now they're doing it
of your, like,
before you know, your kid's born, right?
Before the kid's born, before you even, you like, you choose the egg. Yeah.
Gene editing.
Is that what it's called now?
Yeah, and there's always a soft way to sell it at the beginning because, let's say that, you know, you're a young couple and you can't conceive, so you go get IVF. And they say, okay, we got like 60, fertilized eggs now, and we're going to do an implant of like 20 to hope one actually takes. But, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, we can run this scan, and we can determine if any of these children would be born with Down syndrome and not use those eggs. And we're not going to use them all anyway. Do you want us to do that? A logical person is probably going to say yes. Right? I know some people look, oh, my God, you don't know because you're not there. Like, I can make sure that doesn't happen. Okay. But then these sites that are advertising it, so that's how it always starts, right? We're going to make, or they're not going to be born. I can't remember what it's called. There's a condition where children are literally born with like a heart on the outside of their body and stuff like that. It's very small numbers, but it happens. They're born with no ability. Like there's kids that are born with, and I don't mean it in a funny way. I mean a very deadly serious way. No brain. So of course,
they just have enough to keep them alive, but there's no cognition.
Right. Yeah. So they're born dead or whatever. We can avoid all that. That's all reasonable, I think, if you're doing the IVF anyway. But then they're like, well, do you want to pick your hair color? Do you want to pick your eye? We can actually look for markers for which embryos likely will have a higher IQ. And it starts becoming that. So once it becomes that, then if you're wealthy, instead of you just can't have kids, then it becomes, well, if we're going to have kids, maybe IVF is a better way because then we can screen for these things before. So then you get economy of scale, and all of a sudden IVF goes from like $40,000 to like 10 with convenient financing. And all of a sudden it becomes the standard way that we, you know, avoid the idiocracy, I guess.
Art by Leigh Murphy. I don't know if you're aware, but that's a real company. I just looked it up. Designer Genetics Incorporated.
Oh, she probably is aware.
Yeah. Okay.
She's a smart cookie.
She's very smart.
I have met her in person.
I have a couple of times. She's from.
She needs to come up here to one of our events.
She's from Jacksonville. She's still in Duval County.
Yeah.
Sam Altman is at the forefront of this. They're all at the forefront.
Hey, I've got a backlog of questions, so we'll start with Angie. Did you see the tweet from Trump about Thomas Massie? I did not. I've been here.
He's always mad at Massie.
Which one? They're all hateful, and we need to get rid of them, and Kentucky hates them, and somehow he just keeps winning re-election. What amazes me isn't that Trump is the way he is toward Massie, because Trump's like that to anybody that remotely opposes what he's doing, especially if they have any ability to have an impact.
And Massie does.
The number of the MAGAtards who jump on that train and criticize Massie. It's like, all the shit you say you want, this is the only motherfucker in Congress other than Rand Paul that actually does it. He's the only one that sticks to his guns and does the things he promised. I don't get how quick people are to turn on somebody like that. But, you know, they wanted their big, beautiful bill or whatever. And that was when it really came to a head this last year with Trump and him. He didn't do anything to actually prevent it from happening. He just voted no. It still passed. It wasn't like he held it up or anything. He just said no. And he became public enemy number one. I don't get it.
He's telling everybody to vote for – they're trying to primary him.
Yeah, they're trying. They're not going
to. They always try to primary him.
Yeah, they're not going to. It's not going to work. And Trump is stupid for doing it because don't start a fight you know you're going to lose. Don't take something that's like really kind of a small issue – use the power of the presidency to put it in front of the whole country and then lose. That's a dumb thing. That's you know, somebody needs to get – Trump has a really great book everybody should read called Art of the Deal. You really should. It's fantastic. You learn a lot in it, and you learn a lot about the incompetence and roadblocks of government in it as well. And you come away with respect for Trump. But Trump needs to go read fucking Art of War. Because he does not understand. Do not engage in a conflict knowing you will lose. Because that's exactly what he's doing with Massie, and it's not necessary.
Right.
And Massie will still vote his way 90% of the time. So it doesn't make any sense at all from a tactical standpoint. That's like when I laid out the scenario for Greenland, the main reason I doubt it is because it makes so much sense. And there's so many things that make so much sense that Trump's like 80% there, and he's just like, no, fuck that. I'm going to go do something stupid or say something stupid or whatever. That man needs someone to take his phone away from him. Right? He needs a filter. He needs somebody to go, when he hits send, it doesn't go anywhere. And they go, sir, let's talk about this before we hit the real send button. Because I swear to God, he's putting dumb shit out, taking a dump at 3 a.m. He really does hurt himself. And it's a shame. I think this is the last chance that we're going to get for some of these things to happen.
I mean, he's acting like a president who does not expect to get reelected right now.
Well, he can't.
Which he is.
Yeah.
But nothing.
We're going to get rumors of he's taking over and becoming a dictator towards the end of his presidency. That will totally happen.
But nothing you said in effect will stick.
Answer going, dude, I don't want to be Walter fucking Mondale. Will you quit this? Stop it. Stop doing this. Like, JD has to feel it. Because he's not as cool as people think. He's got some slimy parts of him. But he's a smart dude. And he's a hardworking dude. And he has real potential to be the next president. And Trump's making sure. And what are we going to get if it's not him?
Have you seen all the JD Vance memes on Instagram?
And see, I love what he does.
Yeah, of him dancing and all the crazy.
He'll repost it.
When and all the crazy Erica Kirk
giant head or what up?
Like, dancing and shit, and the Erica Kirk memes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, nothing Trump did that you like is in law. None of it's solid. It's just
it's all EOs.
Orders. It'll just unravel in 2 years.
I mean, it just illustrates how government works. You know, I was having the rest of my family is not politically aligned with me, and we just had the holidays, so we had discussions, and it's every time we sit there and talk a little bit about politics, I try to say, because I don't care, I don't really care to win the argument, it's not going to change the world, okay, but the fact that he's doing this is that he's using the tools put in place by the former presidency or the former administration. He's amplifying it, and then just think what the next one's going to do, because the Democrats are probably going to take it next time anyway. And then they're going to, it's a game of amplification every time. And doesn't that bother you at all? Because you're complaining about Trump doing this thing that your guy's going to do next. And then you're going to tell me, well, Trump did it, so he can do it. You know, it's that circular thing that happens every time, and people just don't care. So I don't know why I bother having that conversation, but.
I like this comment by Mr. G. Marconi. Bad times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create white liberal women. Liberal women create bad times. And all I'm thinking is, like, the last big crash came out of the 1920s, and it was highly connected to the temperance movement that banned alcohol.
That's what happens when you let them.
Who did that? Who was responsible for that? Huh. Never really thought about it before.
Wine moms.
If we go back, well, now today they're not trying to ban alcohol at all. No, they're living on Franzia and cat treats, I guess.
Xanax and.
I mean, people are naturally drinking less now anyway. It's a crisis for the alcohol industry.
Hey, Matt Lath, how about you fuck off somewhere else?
Who's that? Awesome. Oh yeah, him. Yeah, you can fuck off. You can fuck right off, bro. Yeah, yeah, like. He's the guy that tells a woman, you know, your two guys that raped you, they gave you a choice which one you wanted to get raped by, and you didn't pick one, so you got raped by both of them, so you don't have the right to complain about it. Go fuck yourself right in the ass, bud. Bye.
Okay, next question. What are the thoughts on the tax strike? Just tuned in, so I'll catch your thoughts on the podcast later.
It sounds great. Nobody will fucking do it, though, because they have something to lose. Anybody who is willing to not pay, anybody who owes taxes is willing to pay taxes also has something to lose. They will never do it. It's just some bullshit that they're out. If they did it, it would take care of the issue. They will not do it. They're talking about everybody when it comes time to pay taxes. Are you also not going to file? Because that's where that clock starts running, right? Are you not going to file? Are you not going to pay taxes? Have you not paid taxes? Like, why are we talking about it? Had you guys been doing this shit, it would have already fixed itself.
Yeah, there's all kinds of ideas people have, and it's going to and it doesn't. And the left and right both do that shit. Remember when they were going to bring all the helicopters down with laser keychains?
Yeah.
Right? Because of the ice and shit like that. So many – we should all do this. We should all do that. You know, we all should do something productive. If you want to pay less taxes, open a business and learn to work tax code.
It's the same – like we get – I see dudes – guys are like, I'm not going to buy property because you never own it. You pay sales tax. That's fine. Your landlord will be more than happy to own all that property and take all those loans against that property, and his kids will be set. Meanwhile, you've got your kids, you know, I'm not going to participate because the man –
Yeah, I love how they always say, because you're paying property tax, you're just renting it anyway. Well, do you think as a landlord I don't put fucking property tax as a line item when I'm figuring out my rental formula? Do you think I just like, you know, I'll pay that for you, right? Like, it's very simple. The formula for wealth is stack assets. You can almost pick which assets, but you have to stack assets. And you have to leverage assets. That is the formula for wealth in our country because cash devalues itself across time. And when you give money out like they did during COVID, the reason it always rolls up is because wealthy people stack assets. And when you give people money who don't understand money, what do they do with it? They don't buy, they spend.
Yep, buy bullshit. Right?
If I buy something, then I have the thing and the thing retains value. If I buy a coffee cup for $10, it's worth $2. I didn't buy it. I spent money. I bought a disposable good. Therefore, it's a spending issue. If I actually acquired something, it's an exchange. Can I resell it for what I paid for it or more? Can I borrow against it? Can I convert it into another asset? If I can do any of those things, I'm stacking an asset. So when you went out and you spent all your fucking money, Jeff Bezos got that money through Amazon. He bought fucking assets with it. He built another warehouse that he didn't even need. You don't understand why. He built it so he could leverage and borrow against it for cash-free tax flow to build one where he needs it when he needs it. That's how that works. And it's this, you can bitch about it, you can rant about it, you can rave about it, or you can harness it. But you ain't going to change it because the fucking people that write the laws aren't your congressmen. They're the people like Bezos pays to go lobby Congress, write the bill and say, hey, here, I'm going to contribute $30 million to your, you know, your PAC next year. Put your name on this bill. So you can – I always say, like, you can worry about the way things should be or you can deal with the reality of how things are.
I would love to see property taxes go away, but yeah.
Even people won't vote for it for themselves. I was North or South Dakota 10-15 years ago.
Yeah,
I had a chance.
They cannot envision a world where you don't pay for quote unquote local services without property taxes.
Yeah.
That's because the majority of them don't own property taxes. That's why they didn't vote for it. They don't own property.
Like you said though earlier, John, they're paying it anyway.
Yep.
They don't know.
But in their simple minds.
Yep. What they should have done is put a rider on it. That you like, if you were a multi-tenant landlord, you could have your seasonal increases for your lease and all. But let's say you own 30 units.
That's true. What's up?
And then when the taxes went away, you had to prorate the tax cut across all your tenants and give them the guarantee them that their rent would go down. And then it should have been marketed as you're voting for reducing your rent by $50 a month.
I don't think you should be able to vote if you're not a property owner. And if you want to vote and you're not a property owner, you go in the military. You do your service, right? And I don't think any military members should pay any property taxes. But that's like the people voting are the ones getting all the free shit from the people paying the taxes. Of course, they're going to keep voting that way.
Okay. Are there any new gardening or livestock projects or new plants, y'all?
Hold on. Go ahead. Yeah. Just there you go.
We'll bring that. You can star that one.
All right.
Y'all are excited about for the upcoming season.
I'm doing mostly the same that I'm actually reducing shit.
Same.
So, the biggest thing I've done differently this year is you saw it when you were here. I built that new aquaponics small scale system in my garage. And that's for plant cloning and starting. And I have a 55-gallon fish tank at the bottom of a rack with two grow beds over top of it. and I'm running an aquarium heater, keeping that water at 75 degrees, and I'm going to throw a little mini greenhouse over it. So that's all my plants, all my clones, everything for the garden this year. Well, that's like the only thing I've added. And a lot of things are actually being, we're going to travel more. So I need to do less to be able to do that.
Yeah, we're refining our rabbitry. But what's happened here started about June last year when we started talking about expanding the community in the holler and turning the formerly long-term rental into a lodge where people can come and learn, or they can rent it for events. And with that, more food production. So there is talk of me not run. The thing is, I can't do it. Other people have to do different pieces for it to work. So there's talk of more of a weekly box happening here with vegetables that are, and meats and different things grown here. And I think that's really exciting. We will see if it happens. The part that makes it work is when the community involved in the hub project is hubbing, basically. So they're coming out here and doing their business unit and getting the value from their business unit. And the strategy here is that each person who is involved in the community is also the head of their business unit. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So just seeing that develop has been really fun this year or last year. And it's interesting to me turning the corner. But like Jack, I have a list of things on the wall that would usually happen in 2026. And some of the things are coming off the wall so I can put more efforts into the things that are bringing the most value. And, you know, that's part of why the coffee business experiment happened in December the way it did, because I wanted to see if I put more time there, what happens to the revenue that's generated and that sort of thing. So we'll be talking about that on the podcast when I start it up again next week. So I'm still on break, Jack.
I got you.
I got the plague.
Yeah,
you know about the plague this year, and that plague really hung on really well. And I decided in order to do 2026 well, the show was going to delay an extra week so that the week that I spent at non-maximal production over my break can be made up. So
the plague didn't really hit me hard from a standpoint of not being able to do things or feeling really sick or whatever. It was just heavy ass congestion, which leads to poor sleep. And it just destroyed my voice. That sucks when you're a podcaster. It just happened to hit at the right time, so I was going to be off anyway. But it hit Dorothy and you much harder than it hit me. All I had was congestion and a little bit of like a face ache because you had so much congestion, like pressure. But a lot of people told me it was really, really bad. So when I got what I got, I thought, well, maybe it's not the same thing. But when Dorothy got it, I'm like, okay, it is.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and it does this. It's sneaky. It goes away. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to conquer the world. And then you're like, oh, I'm flat on my ass again.
it's too, like, for me, it was, when I say congested, I mean no breathing through my nose at all. Like,
yeah, I didn't get that.
You feel like somebody's got your, like, clamped down, and that sucks. Because then you mouth breathe. Nobody wants to be a mouth breather. But when you do it sleeping, like, your throat dries out. And then all that throat problem is worse. It sucks ass.
Yeah. No fever, though.
No, I didn't get fever.
Yeah. I was like, wow, no fever.
Dorothy didn't either.
What's really helping me, just in case this helps Dorothy, is the Q-Seratin and
Dorothy's good
combination.
Now.
Huh?
She's good now.
Oh, she's good now.
But it might help somebody here.
Yeah. So it's you have to go through it. That's just the way it is. But I have found, like, the C zinc Q-Seratin thing helped me. Seemed to help me have less fatigue related to it later.
Yeah.
Red Flyer Media is saying DMSO is helpful. I haven't tried that for coldy stuff. I'll have to talk to you about that. She's like, her YouTube channel has been exploding because she's been talking to people who are using DMSO for arthritis and different other healing things, which is pretty cool.
Apparently you can buy that at Tractor Supply.
You can. Yeah. I have some.
People use it on, like, horses or something. I haven't really dug into it, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah, a lot of stuff at Tractor Supply can
fix ivermectin.
Things. Yep.
It's horse paste, y'all. Whatever.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I took horse paste. there's pharmacies where you can buy human ivermectin tablets here in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right, it's over the counter here.
Right down the interstate. There's massive billboards for it.
Yeah, you can buy human-grade DMSO, too, if you want to.
Anything that's over the counter in 80% of the world should be over the counter in the United States. I mean, really, like, can we not at least be at the level of like Spain?
But then you have to push it. But then you have to push it through the prescription, right? You have to go and see the doctor, so the doctor gets the money, and then he has to cut the prescription and give you three, so he gets full revenue on all three, and then it has to bill at 10 times the rate through the insurance company.
Yeah, and it's worse than you think. Like, this is almost 30 years ago. I remember my wife came home, and she was a nurse, and she said they had a lady come in, and she really liked this doctor who quit being a doctor and went to sell real estate because she got fed up with it. This lady comes in and says she needed, you know, medicine for her kid who had a mild fever because she's on Medicaid, so you run right to the doctor for that because it doesn't cost you anything. And the doctor says all she needs is some children's Tylenol. It's like $3. Go get it. I have Medicaid and I have to pay for it unless you write a prescription for it. And then I don't have to pay for it. And this lady was a heavy smoker. And the reason Dorothy loved her, she said, I noticed that you smoke cigarettes. How about you skip for one day and buy your baby some Tylenol instead of wasting everybody's time? But then she went ahead and wrote it because you kind of have to. And so you have people going to get prescriptions for shit that's over the counter so that we have to pay for it and they don't. That's 30 years ago. And she told me, like, this is what soured my wife, because she was pretty much a believer in the American dream and all, seeing it. She's like, we had people come in that were on Medicaid, but their kids are going to Dallas Cowboy cheerleader camp, and they're driving fucking Humvees. And that'll pretty much end any of that bullshit about it's for the needy or whatever. I mentioned Trump's book earlier. I'm re-listening to it on audio right now, Art of the Deal. I think I read it like 35 years ago. Some of the shit in there from the 80s and 70s in New York City, holy shit. Everybody thinks of rent control, right? Helping poor people. Do you know how many rich motherfuckers, and I mean rich motherfuckers, are sitting on prime real estate worth millions of dollars, paying $1,400, $1,500 a month under rent control in Manhattan right now? A lot of them. It's always TV does it. It's this evil, fat, slovenly landlord trying to kick people out to reap. No, it's like something like 40% of rent controlled apartments are held by affluent people. Not okay, not middle income, affluent.
And they find ways to pass it.
Well, it has to do with any building. I think it's 47. Any building built before that was subject to the original rent control that they put in place during World War II and right after World War II, the idea was we had all these GIs coming home, and like New York being one of the biggest cities in the country, even back then, they needed someplace to live, right? And they were transitioning, so they put it in temporary government program. That was how it started. And then it became when the country undid it, because the whole country did it. New York kept it. And then so any building built before 47, it's almost impossible to remove the rent controls from it. And some of these places, like I said, they're like penthouses. They're like in the wet, you know, with views of the park or the river and shit. And these people, like Ed Koch, when he was mayor, was living in a rent controlled apartment. Actually, he was living in the governor's mansion, but he kept his rent controlled apartment so that he could live there when he wasn't mayor anymore.
Can we talk about the fiction that your vote counts?
I banned you. I'm the guy that banned you. I'm gonna burn. Now he's burned his third account. Go ahead and say your piece. I'm banning this one also. go ahead. Let him say what he's
going to
say.
If you don't know how math works, dude.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off. No, your vote does not count anyway. A, B, I'm not participating in a system that I don't support, and by choosing a side, I then support the system, and that's not a thing that's going to happen. I too did not vote in the last presidential election. I do occasionally vote for judges in my immediate county where three votes do make a difference in the immediate county. But other than that, not voting. Even vote at my county level next time.
This is his third account.
This is what I find interesting.
He's really got a stick up his ass, man.
I'm pretty sure he's one of my clients. I see him on my live feeds, and I burned him off of here.
Here I am, minding my own business, not interfering with his life in any way. Okay? I say my piece. I do my thing. I've done it for 18 years, and I've bothered no one. I don't use any of my influence to change his life unless he wants to listen to me and change his own life. I don't give a fuck who wins an election because I know that the people running the fucking show are people like BlackRock and all these giant corporations and the financiers and Jamie Dimon that pay for everything. And I understand that as well. But even if it wasn't true, here I am minding my own fucking business. This guy is so wrapped up. He's got his head so far up his own ass. He's breathing so much of his own shit because that's how far up his own ass his head is that he has now created at least three accounts just to come on here and cry about the fact that I don't do a thing he thinks that I should do.
That's not what
it's about. Sir, whoever you are, I just have to say that is one of the saddest, most pathetic things I have ever seen a grown man do in my life. You should go find a mirror in your house and look at yourself and ask yourself, is this really the person that I want to be in the world? Do I want to be the guy that is so obsessed with the fact that Jack Spirko doesn't vote that I am burning up my time to cry about it in a live stream where everybody looks at me and just thinks that person's sad and pathetic? Do you really want to be that person? If you do, by all means, continue. And know this, John did ban you. I didn't. I don't give a fuck what you say. I don't care. In fact, I'll even take your old comment that you got banned on. I'll put it up for – that's not it. It's gone now, I guess.
I'm sorry. I undid it.
You undid it. Okay, fine. It's gone. I would have showed it.
That was three profiles ago.
I don't – we lost track of you.
I recognize his second account. He's on my lives, so I figured he was here from my account.
How sad is this human? I feel for you, brother.
It's okay that you banned him, John. That's your power.
That's not what this is about. This is the thing that he thinks he can get people to rally about, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is about some – he wrote something in and he didn't like your comment or he's mad that his show hasn't taken off. We don't know what he's done because he hasn't fucking done anything.
He's done nothing. You know, I wrote an article on October 27th, 2014. That's 11 years ago. I'm going to throw this link into the chat. And anybody's welcome to go read that article. And if you want to really laugh, listen to all the people like him in the comments screaming and shrieking. But tell me what I got wrong in it. It was written in 2014. Tell me what I got wrong in that about what was going to happen in the future with government, no matter who won. And if you can point to, like, you know, maybe I got a number off by a little bit or a date off by a little bit, but if you can point to anything in the macro that didn't happen over that 10-year, 11-year period now, I'll reconsider my position. Until then, cry, because that's all you can do. You know what? You can do something, sir. You can do one thing you haven't done yet. You've cried. You can cry harder. That you can also
cry harder works every time.
It works the best.
Here's his fourth page.
Especially on video, please.
Here's his fourth page now. Guys that are asking what this is about, we're live streaming to Facebook, YouTube, at least mine are two Facebook accounts and YouTube. And the first dude came through from his Facebook account that I blocked. Now he's on YouTube, and he thinks I blocked that even though I have not. And now he's logged into his second one as Missile Launch.
Oh, I thought it was Missy. I thought he became a girl.
I don't think that's him.
You don't think that's him? Well, no,
Something ain't coming off. He's around a lot. He's never that guy. I don't think that's him.
I only post if I can get Jack to lose focus and get highlighted. Well, ban that one too.
No, he's all right. Don't ban him. He's okay.
He's just playing.
He's playing. Yeah, he's playing the clown. He's not a problem.
Same
I don't even care. Like, the only people I ban are the ones that just, like, when they start cutting and pasting it over and over again and clock, then I block.
Oh, that's awful.
I believe in gilding. So you create this community and they do your job for you. Please come do that because my people will tear you to and John's people. Fuck.
My
people are pit bulls.
They're John's like 10x Jack followers when you piss off John's fleet.
Bro, it's like fucking rabid, starving fucking lions when they go to town. There was a dude that contacted my sponsors like 10 years ago. Over something. I don't even remember.
I think it was the F-bomb.
It was the seed company that he got in touch with.
It was the herbal company. Western Botanicals.
I remember that.
He hit all my 12 sponsors. They were the only ones that even cared a little bit. And John unleashed his fucking horde. And I eventually emailed John and said, bro, pull him off. Because this dude ended up being a pastor. And, like, some of the comments he made were really nasty. And, like, people were digging up Yelp reviews of his church and then adding to them. And I'm like, stop the hounds, man. This is way overkill here. Everything's I'm a dick, man. Fuck with that, bro, and you see what happens. That's a whole new level of being a dick in that man right there when you cross that line. You are in my new book, by the way, John.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the John Willis method of marketing.
It works.
The whole story of Travis the Vegan follows that. I only ever did John Sling once, but we were getting ready to go on vacation. He literally paid for our airfare, including first class upgrade, our bar tab, our hotel, our rental car, and our excursions. I think I had gas money for my own vehicle into that trip by the time it was over with. And I'm like, this really works. And that's why I haven't done it again. I'm like, this power is too tempting. I don't want to abuse it, you know. John does it, what, 3-4 times a year?
It takes a lot to get there.
I love, usually, like, Amanda's emails, though, when it's a marketing email and it happened. And he's just really like, Bill did this, and now Bill is screwed. We are. Because I know her, and she's so nice, really. But
it's good because we light something on fire with a really big fire or a lot of tannerite or something, and there's always a code, right? So it just captures so much attention when we do it. So there's always a promo that goes with it. It's always good for, you know, 50 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all you had to do was nothing. But you did something, and now I benefited from your stupidity that you intended to harm me. That's the interesting part of it.
And well, they do it, so they do
learn.
Yeah, they do intend to harm you.
Yeah.
Alpha gal.
Okay, let's have a brainstorm on non-mammalian proteins that you can eat if you have alpha gal. And I can say something, like, I know several people who've had it who got over it.
Yeah.
Start trying the things that can get you over it, but don't discount oysters as a fat balanced protein source that is delicious. You know, from all the poultry and fish.
Were you bitten by a tick? My friend's wife has it, and I believe she can eat quail, I believe. And I think I heard kangaroo was also in there.
That's going to be expensive, though. Unless you have, oh no. You know it's coming now, don't you, Nicole?
What?
The John Willis kangaroo farm.
Oh, yeah.
I would try emu and ostrich also. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's involved with trying that, like what that reaction is, but.
Well, it can be anaphylactic shock, so you have to be kind of careful. Yeah. So anything that nurses its young is an issue. And then some people, it's like the issue also is that, like, skincare products and stuff that have mammalian things in them can be an issue. And you become surprised how many things have something
in it. What about dairy, like butter?
A lot of people. So some people are okay with it. Other people can't have milk, butter, anything like that. So you're looking. So Ken Berry did an interesting segment on your show, Jack, about just eat oysters for a year.
Yeah.
Which sounds horribly boring. And reset your immune system. I don't know if that works or not, but I do know multiple people who have gotten over it by working with some natural practitioners.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, everybody I know who's gotten it had a relatively weak immune system to begin with when they got bitten by the tick and then they got it. So it can never hurt to figure out ways to make yourself healthier through dietary changes, exercise, and and looking at your vitamin and minerals in your blood, like those sorts of things, to see if you can get your immune system working the way it should rather than fighting a tick-borne protein thing.
And there are a lot of, like, you're talking about the protein and fat, there's a lot of fish and shellfish options, like oysters you mentioned, but salmon is generally a high-fat fish. Mackerel, sardines, anchovies, like there's a lot of options. Freshwater catfish, when they're bigger, tend to have a ton of fat. It's really good too, man. Like if you get a catfish 6 to 8 pounds, they steak like salmon, and you throw them on a grill and cook them like a steak, and the fat will literally start to cook out of them, and then they crisp up. Like, eat that, I guess. I
mean, avocado,
yeah.
avocado oil and olive oil. Stay away from the seed oils.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think what happens with alpha gal is you get like pushed into this standard American crap diet stuff works. And in addition, so it's like trying to keep it whole foods is where I would think I would want to focus, and that takes more things. The other thing is you can order all of these things in bulk to be delivered, especially if you're friends with somebody who has a wholesale account. A wholesale account is done when you have a federal ID number. So you can set yourself up to have that and get, you know, cases of fish delivered frozen to your house and stock your freezer that way. Sushi diet.
Sushi diet. I'm in. Sashimi diet.
Mm-hmm.
They opened a new place down here called Japan House. $30, all the sushi you can eat, and it's really good. My intent is to make them regret their decision.
Yeah.
We took David and Mona there, me and Dorothy, and we put a hurting on that shit.
I mean, I can only imagine how that
and
went.
It's not like a buffet. I mean, it's like literally they come and you can order up to 5 things per order.
Yeah.
And they make it. I mean, it's as good as any high end sushi place. Not super top end, but like, you know, like your typical good sushi place. It's that good, and $30 and you just go nuts.
That makes the accounting easier.
Yeah.
It's really so easy. Comment, a lot of heavy metals in seafood. Yeah. Can be.
Do this. Breathe in and out. You just inhaled and exhaled 60,000 toxins. So, yeah, there can be. But the food the stuff we're talking about is actually fairly low when you're talking about anchovies, when you're talking about sardines. When I say mackerel, I don't mean giant kingfish. I mean, you know, mackerel, like you can buy canned and stuff like that. Those things are lower on the food chain, so they bioaccumulate less. And, you know, that's, I don't know, man. There's people worry way too much about everything. I like, remember there was a song, Nicole, back in the 80s, and it ended something like, I can't remember what it was called, the Food Blues or something. It was some like kind of riff country type singer. He relied on nothing I could eat. And it was like he just went through all the things the waiter told him not to eat at this restaurant. And it ended with, I ain't eaten in a week and I'm feeling fine, because he didn't mention 3 things: whiskey, women, and sweet red wine. That's the song if anybody wants to look it up. I can manage, Lee Murphy, 42 pieces of sushi rolls at a buffet. I like to get my money's worth.
It's all about fasting going in, I guess.
The thing is, like, you can eat till you can't move from sushi, and 2 hours later, you're like, I could eat.
I could eat more sushi.
And there's a difference with sushi, too, right? Yeah. Are you eating sashimi, or are you eating rice?
Yeah, yeah. I think either way. I mean, I'd put some sashimi away. But you still, like, just fish in general, you don't get the long-term satiation, where if I eat, like, a 16-ounce piece of beef,
mm-hmm,
I'm not looking at food again for about 6 hours under the best case scenario. I'm done.
Copper penny, any better sushi restaurant you go to, you're not going to see this at low end and buffet, but they'll make all your sushi with no rice. Amanda gets it all the time. Amanda always orders rolls, no rice.
I've thought about buying the thing for the stand mixer where you can do the really thin cuts and stuff, because I've seen people make sushis that are more like keto. They use cucumber or daikon and stuff like that instead of rice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd just rather buy a big old hunk of fish, cut it up, and dip it in soy sauce and wasabi and eat it.
I mean, sashimi is delicious.
Yeah.
Sashimi, however you say that word.
Yeah.
So, something in nori seaweed gives me a head buzz.
Good for you, man.
Hopefully that's fun.
That's an easy, cheap buzz. You can buy that shit in sheets, right?
Yeah, like this.
You pop in squares of freaking nori like you're taking LSD. That's awesome.
Well, I'm surprised we stayed in current events as long as we have and haven't talked about snakes at all. Like, it's kind of an unusual live stream today.
Well, maybe we have one without. We're at 2 hours. Probably need a route. We
Jack said to stop breathing to avoid toxic chemicals. Be back. Be right back, detoxing.
Yeah, hold your breath as long as you can, bro, and let us know how it works out. We do need at least a snake room progress update from
John. Yeah, we do need that, John.
Snake room's done.
Okay.
Snake room's done. Animals are in the snake room.
Is it going to be the last snake room, or is it just for the big boys?
No, almost everything will go in there right now. We've kind of slowed down a little bit on the snakes.
Yeah, give me a month on Facebook now that I'm back. I'll fix that shit.
I've been loving watching Amanda with the 3D printer.
Yeah,
I'm bummed that I can't get him into any rear fang, though.
It's an issue here in Tennessee.
Yeah, they won't let you have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm
too public.
If there's something, you know, with the guys on the internet and shit, if there's something they catch wind of, it's definitely going to be a problem.
Oh, you've got haters as much as me. They'll rat you out for that.
I'm super careful on all that shit.
Yeah. You don't have a room big enough for this snake. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he probably doesn't know what he's talking about either. It might be our friend back again. Who knows?
Yeah, could be. How much of your time is eaten up trying to mess with people? Like, how pathetic is that?
It is. As I said earlier, I used to get mad. Now I just feel I feel sad for people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like your life, how much do you not have going on in your life where you're worried about what John Willis, Nicole Sauce, or Jack Spirko think to the point that you'll rapidly create multiple accounts just to talk shit? Like, that's sad. It ain't about me or even y'all. It could be, I don't care who it is. We were influencers. I guess we're not that important. Nobody listens to us except that they want to. They don't put us on Fox News or anything. And this is important to you? Sad. I'm sure your mama is disappointed in you.
Well, it's kind of like getting stuck in video games all day, right?
Yeah. That's more productive than this. I mean, at least there's people that make money playing video games, right? I mean, I don't really follow the space, but my understanding is there's people that make like millions of dollars a year playing video games.
Yeah, five.
Five? Okay, that's five. Five, yeah. How many people make millions of dollars a year being trolls? No, I mean, there's some companies that have Trollbot Farms. They make money. But this is you can tell that's an individual. It's just, I don't know. And you know what's the worst thing about these people? Usually it's you said one thing like 10 years ago that they still can't let go of. And bro, I don't even know you. It's weird that I live in your head.
Yeah, it is weird.
Pushback.
You know, those things that you think about in the middle of the night that don't matter are worth letting go of.
Yeah.
That person said that thing that pissed me off. That's worth letting go of if it's still in your head from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because they forgot they said it. They don't even know you at this point, probably.
And this is actually, I'm grabbing this right here so I get it right, even though it's my own. This is a chapter in my new book coming out.
Pushback means progress. Silence means irrelevance.
If you don't have any haters, you're not doing anything worth talking about. So thank you for validating that we still matter, buddy. We appreciate you, even though you're sad. You know, you talk about like what you think about life. I have found like one of the most powerful things you can do for yourself mentally is whatever you want to do first thing in the morning when you wake up, say that to yourself right before you go to sleep. Because whatever you think last before you put your head to your pillow and close your eyes will actually end up being the first thought in your head when you wake up. When I read that, I thought it was stupid till I did it once. And I've started doing this thing where I'm up at 5 in the morning every day. And one of the last things I say to myself is, I can't wait to get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Or you tell people.
Weird.
Yeah. If you tell people you're going to do it. Also.
That helps too. But saying it to yourself, I'm saying like, I mean, literally like I'm going to sleep now.
Yeah.
I'll say that to myself. Not even out loud, just in your head. Because most people's last thought of the day is going to be something they're pissed off about. And some bitch, if you don't wake up thinking about it.
Yep.
Which means what? It means that your fucking background process and your dreams ran that motherfucker all night. You might want to think about the input if you don't like your output.
Now, you said that last year in one of your podcasts, and I was like, yep, I'm going to start doing that. Last thing I say is the first thing I want to think in the morning. And it's something positive. It's not that dirty, rotten scoundrel who, you know, tripped me when I was walking down the walkway or something. It's like, I can't wait to do this tomorrow morning, whatever it is that I can't wait to do tomorrow morning. And it works.
Is it weird how well it
works?
I think
it's great. It's a great, like, that's a stupid little hack that's so easy. Anybody can do it. It's like anybody can start exercising every day, right?
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference in your life. Also, anybody can tell themselves before they go to sleep something positive that they can't wait to do tomorrow, and it changes the whole day. And, you know, it doesn't mean I don't have bad days. I'm a normal person like everybody else.
Everybody.
Like, we have to deal with what we do on the days where we don't feel like it, but that's life, man.
I encourage everybody to consider the 5 a.m. thing. And if you get up already at 6, then 5 works. If you get up at 7, then maybe 6 works. It's basically giving yourself an hour in the front of the day. And I picked this up from Jake Robinson at the workshop, and he told me it was the 5 a.m. club. So I found the book, and I can't recommend the book because it's horrible. As far as I'm personally concerned, the way it reads is just the characters are retarded. There's an inspirational quote every other paragraph. It's just too much. It's like trying to eat cake with sugar on top of the cake with syrup on top of the sugar. But the concept, which you can just literally go to YouTube and put in 5 a.m. club synopsis, and, you know, get it 9. That's what John Dowie did. John Dowie said, Jake told him about it. He bought the book, and he's lucky that Jake's lucky he doesn't live in New Hampshire. Because he's like, I would have drove to his house. In John's words, I would have punched him in his fucking face, right? So I looked up a 9-minute synopsis, and now I'm doing that shit. Right?
That sounds like Dowie. I'm doing that shit,
right? Like, it's weird because you get so much. And the big thing is, and I think maybe it's even less for me or people like John here, our John or you, because you have peace already. But when I think back to like when I had kids and shit, like having that complete solitude, peaceful hour when it's still dark out to do some things for yourself, it's strange. It has completely revitalized the effort that I'm putting into what I do. And I know I sound like an evangelist right now or whatever, but just try it. I mean, what do you lose? Do it for 2 weeks. I think most people, if you do it for 2 weeks, you won't stop doing it. It's weird. You wake up and you're like, I could sleep an extra, fuck, I don't want to.
Yep. All right. We've been on for 2 hours. I could go 3, but I can't go 3. Or I'm not going to go 3 today. Neither is Zach and neither is John, because you guys got shit to do, don't you?
I'm going to get done early and go help Dorothy put away Christmas shit.
John has gear to produce.
Yeah.
And if you have not signed up for his email list, go to soetacticalgear.com and get on that so you get notices when they produce cool shit. Anyway, let's go once around the horn. Jack.
I am Jack Spierko, host of the Survival Podcast, almost 18 years running. That'll be this summer. We've done over 3,780 shows to date. And that means that there's something in the space of entrepreneurship, lifestyle design, preparedness, homesteading, permaculture, survivalism, et cetera, that you want to know more about. We've probably covered it. So just go to thesurvivalpodcast.com and stick your subject of choice in the search box and you'll find it.
Awesome. John.
SOETacticalgear.com is the website. This is the YouTube channel, also SOE Tactical Gear Special Operations Equipment. 7,000 videos. I do a live video every night at 9 o'clock. Jump on, check it out, and we will see you guys there.
Awesome. I am Nicole Thoss from the Living Free in Tennessee podcast. And if you go to livingfreeintennessee.com right now and listen to the last 3 episodes, it is step-by-step walking you through the My Three Things method. They are replays, and you can check those out and start building your life strategic plan and start living with purpose every day by doing at least one thing or 3 things to move yourself forward. It pairs well with all of the motivation you can get from listening to Jack and John. Definitely recommend going to their podcasts and to their live streams and check that out. And also, if you want delicious coffee delivered to your door, go to hollerroast.com and be sure to order some now while I am in town, because I am currently running this without employees, although that may need to change. And if I'm out of town, the coffee does not ship. With that, guys, we'll see you next month.
They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better better way.